I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt.
Hey friends, welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. As women, we face some big questions. So today we continue our discussion with Joyce, Erin Cluley, and our lovely friend Lisa Bevere, and I get to hang out too. And I think you're going to find that answers that you hear will transform, improve, and just to help refine your life. It's all about growing closer to God and becoming the woman He wants us to be.
Well, here's another question that came in on social media, as most of these did, and I think this is a great one, and it's hard for men too, but it's especially hard for women. How do you deal with criticism in your roles and in your life?
I've never had any.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying.
No. Yeah. Okay, I learned a saying, and I'm sure Joyce can elaborate on this: let your critics refine you, not define you. So if I can say it better, if I can add more clarity to it, then hallelujah. But they do not have the right to define me or label me or disqualify me.
Yeah.
And so I think that you have to have that approach, and then also understanding that a lot of the people that are critics have done nothing. And they are just attacking people that do something, sometimes to make themselves feel better about doing nothing.
Yeah.
That's.
Well, I think here again, the first thing is, and I'm not that I always do this, but the first thing is to ask yourself, are they right?
Yeah.
That's a hard one to start out with.
That helps you refine it.
That's a hard one to start out with. And I find, interestingly enough, that I take criticism from my kids better than I do from Dave.
I can understand that.
I guess I'll have to go home and be honest about why. I'm not sure.
But, yeah, you asked yourself that question. Erin still hurt.
My children have now become my parents. You know, they say it reverses when you. And so it's like, it's really kind of funny. Since I had my 80th birthday, now two of them refer to me as their 80-year-old mother. I said, why did you never call me your 79-year-old mother? You know? And so, of course, I had the leg thing, you know, right? My birthday was right in the middle of that. So they said, I think with the falling and all that, it just, we got like, and so they're always trying to tell me, now be careful, don't do this, don't do that, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that. And Dave is extremely protective, always has been, always will be. And the man still will tell me when I'm getting out of the bathtub, be careful. And I am like, please don't tell me how to get out of the bathtub. I'm 80 years old. I've gotten out of the bathtub 1,000 times. And I thank God I finally just learned to say thank you. Remember, we're still working on that, girls.
Yeah,
we're still working on that.
It's still something I have to practice a lot.
We decided months ago when our husbands gave us advice, we were going to thank them.
Okay.
But we're still working on it.
We are trying.
Yeah.
Okay.
My husband's figured it out, though. It doesn't always mean I'm going to do it. It just means thank you.
Yeah. Now, they catch on pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty smart with that stuff.
And like Lisa said, you know, your critic is not always right. So I think you do need to ask God, are they right?
Yeah.
And there have been things, there was something that Dave criticized me on in the last year, and I asked God if he was right, and he wasn't. I didn't go tell him that, but he was.
God said you're wrong.
I did ask my daughter, and she said, no, that's not right.
Yeah.
And so just because they say something doesn't mean that they're right, but neither does it mean that you should not consider it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
See what we have to learn from it.
It's about the best I can do.
I think that's one of the biggest things about critics, because it can be really hard, and it can really hurt. But it's how we deal with it, what we choose to learn from it, and what we choose to let go of.
Yeah.
'Cause you do have to learn to tell yourself, you know, it doesn't matter.
But I love that Joyce is talking about people who are close to her.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Not people.
That's different.
We're talking about random strangers.
I get all kinds of criticism.
That's what most people are fighting.
Yeah.
People that are close to me, my husband, my children, my boys love to help me on things as well. These are people committed to bringing the best out of me. The people online are not people committed to bringing out the best in us. But if I can say it better, I want to say it better.
I always tell people, don't write me a nasty letter because they're not going to give it to me anyway. Somebody else will read it and they'll say, nope, Joyce, I need to hear that.
That's good.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's a lot of lost energy.
Mm-hmm. Once in a while, very rarely, but once in a while, I'll look myself up online.
No, don't do that.
No. Well, I like I said, I rarely do it.
Well, all right. This is a question that I think a lot of women are asking, and I think especially younger women, and I think it's really helpful. I know I've had this talk with my girls, but the question is, can a woman really have it all? And what does having it all even mean? They have choices to make. They have sacrifices to make. And we feel like we're missing something if somehow we haven't accomplished all of it.
Well, can you expound on what it means to have it all?
Well, when you in society, you know, it's
the Gucci clothes.
The great, exactly. It's the great job. It's the wonderful family. It's the perfect children. Can you do everything and be happy? And I love this question because I've told my girls, you know, I don't want to have it all. I want to have all that God has for me, but that's all I need.
I don't think anybody can have it all. I don't think it's even good for you.
No, exactly.
To have it all. You know, God didn't create us to never hear no. And we need to trust God to give us what we can handle and not decide what we want and try to manipulate God into giving it to us. And a woman certainly can have a career and she can have a family, but it's not everything's not going to be perfect. I always tell people, I was not a normal mother, but I was a good mother. But I wasn't normal. You can't do what I'm doing and be normal.
Sure.
I couldn't be there for every single thing that they did because I was on the road a lot of times.
Yeah.
Our youngest son, our baby, he's now 44, he grew up under the resource tables, you know, crawling around under there. And what is normal? I mean, normal is very much overrated. Yeah. You gotta find your lane and get in it and stop trying to get into somebody else's lane because you think that's where you need to be.
I think we all need to hear that because this is what you were called to. And therefore, God gave you the ability. He gave you what you needed to do it.
Always.
And graced your children.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. One of your daughter-in-laws, Nicole, is called to be at home with her kids and homeschooling, and she does it beautifully because that's what she is called to.
And she is very talented. She could be doing a lot of other things.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's so comforting for us to know is that we don't have to do what somebody else does. God has special things in each one of us.
And you know, my two daughters worked in the ministry, and they both left when they had kids and wanted to stay at home with their kids. And that's great.
Sure.
And I think the right thing in the wrong season becomes the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to know your season of life, because I'm hearing from young girls who postponed. They wanted their career. They froze some eggs and postponed their life. And now they're having problems. And so you have to know your season. There's only a certain amount of time where you go to school. There's only a certain amount of time when your kids are 10 and under. There's only a certain amount of time. And so you have to know what is best in this season. And I feel like God will grace you if he tells you to work full time. He'll grace you for that. If he tells you to stay home and homeschool your kids. My kids would have been idiots if I had homeschooled them. they are so...
And I would have been in the madhouse.
There would have been problems if I had homeschooled my kids. So thank God I was able to put my kids into public school. And we actually, Chris, it wasn't quite as crazy when I had kids as it is now. But we were able to navigate questions at home around the dinner table with our children. And I think that women are so stressed out right now.
We are. We are stressed out.
Because everybody looks perfect.
Yep.
Everybody's house looks perfect. Like, thank God no one was looking at my house. It was a Lego explosion. I mean, it was like nobody, I was
That's
never
dangerous to walk around
posting
barefoot.
Pictures of my beautiful home with my beautiful husband and my beautiful baby. Nobody saw that. I didn't have this constant intervention and criticism in my life. And I think people need to edit their lives and stop living up to everybody else's expectation and find out what God has for them in this season.
I'd like to piggyback off of that and say, this thing about timing is so important. And many times you can have something in your heart that really is from God that you will do at some time.
Yes.
it may just not be now. I tried to go on television before God put me on television, and it was a disaster. In 6 months, I got two pieces of mail. It just wasn't right. I tried to have a talk show, and I wouldn't let anybody talk but me. And so, you know, that became obvious. And then when God told us to go on TV, I was surprised. You know, it was like, so you may have something in your heart that's just not for now, but, you know, God does provide. If he wants you to do something, please understand God will provide what you need to do it. I needed help with my children, and God always provided somebody to help me.
That's true.
I remember the first woman that came to me, a friend of mine, and she said, it's obvious you're called to teach the word. And so I feel like God wants me to volunteer to help you with your housework, with meals, and with your kids so you can give yourself to that.
Wow.
I couldn't pay her.
Yeah.
And she did it for a long time for nothing. And her first salary was $50 a week, and she still works for us today.
Wow.
So God will, he'll give you what you need if you're really supposed to be doing something. And if he doesn't, then you need to back off, back up and ask yourself one of those questions, why do I want to do this?
Yeah.
Well, and I love that you're saying you can make a mistake and God will still actually redeem it. You know, I remember looking at the life of Abraham and Sarah, and you see this interaction where the angels come and they're like, hey, you know, a year from now, Sarah's going to have a baby in her arms, and she like laughs in her heart. Not even out loud. And it's interesting that when people get so acquainted with disappointment, they're afraid to hope again.
Right.
And I remember reading that, and God said, because Sarah was a crazy woman. I mean, she beat Hagar, a pregnant woman. Here, take my, I mean, I would never say, hey, John, here's an option for you. Take my handmaiden. I mean, there was like some, like you're like, Sarah was like dysfunctional. She would have been on a television show. So when I look at that, I love Sarah's life because it shows us that you can make a mistake, but that doesn't make you a mistake.
Right.
And I feel like God has a plan. John and I, we felt called to give away books. We gave away books 10 years too early and almost broke us. And then when it came back again, John was like, God's telling me. I'm like, didn't we already try this? I think this was a failure, but it was the right time. And so I love that you're highlighting that the timing is crucial. And there's so many people out there that have something in their heart and it isn't happening.
And it's frustrating to them because they don't understand, you know, but I know I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
But it's not just what you're supposed to do, it's when you're supposed to do
it. So good. And there are always seasons of sacrifice in our life.
Right.
You know, there are things that we have to wait on, things that we have to give up at times.
Right.
We can't do everything and do it perfectly. We're not even supposed to.
That's hard too. That just has been hard for me as a mom of young kids. And my mom will say to me, Erin, it's just a season.
Yeah.
And I just want to go and I just want to say yes to everybody and I can't. And so I have to be okay knowing that it's just a season. And that doesn't mean that I missed God. It means this is where God has me now. So I really appreciate you guys sharing that.
You don't want to look back and wish that you...
I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to fully immerse... Nobody was volunteering for me. So I had to fully immerse. I mean, I breastfed my youngest son until he was 2.5. And he was like, I'm showing up at nursery. No, he was like, I'm at nursery and other kids have stopped this a year ago. We are not doing this anymore. But I wanted to totally immerse in that season. Mm-hmm. So I had to edit some things. And I think going back to that is you can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when I travel and spoke, when I was home, I was home. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't do the girlfriend thing, the shopping thing, the lunch thing, the phone call, whatever, gossip things. And so I was fully immersed at home, fully immersed writing, and then fully present, you know, when I was on the road, fully present when I was home. And I didn't get to have some other things. You have to edit your life in certain areas because you can't do everything.
That's very good.
All right. Totally different direction, but a question that many people are asking and I know that you can help with. Help me deal with inappropriate behavior from men. When a man...
Joyce and I would just say punch them.
That is one direction to go. But yeah, just how do I deal, whether it's in the workplace or wherever it may be, just inappropriate.
Well, you don't put up with it. Yeah. I mean, you just, first of all, you try nicely to tell them that's inappropriate and I really don't want you to do it. And if they won't stop, then most companies now have an HR department. You can go to them. And if nobody will do anything about it, then by all means, just go get another job, because you need to respect yourself enough to not let somebody else disrespect you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if they're doing it to you, they're going to do it to somebody else.
Right.
And I know that women have a tendency to, in their mind, say, well, maybe I was asking for it. Maybe I shouldn't have worn that dress. Maybe when I talked to him about this one thing, I shouldn't have talked. This is not your fault. This is them predatory behavior, seizing on an opportunity. And I 100% agree, you go to them, but I would go to them with somebody. And because they will deflect and they will gaslight and they will say, you're the one that did this. Because I had a situation like that when I was young, and that person almost convinced me that I was the problem. And I actually just said, well, I'm going to take myself out of the equation. I love Albert Einstein says, one way to put an end to the problem is to stop participating in it. And you just step away. Yeah. And so HR, though, is important.
I even had a situation at a church that I went to for years where a friend of Dave's came to me one night and he said, I wish my wife was as good looking as you are.
Oh, wow.
And I went home that night and told Dave what he said.
Yeah.
And I said, how do you want to handle this? You know, because they were good friends. I mean, they played golf together all the time. And he said, well, let's pray about it. And if he ever does anything again, then I'll talk to him. And he never did anything after that. But because...
Honesty, being open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't going to just let that slide because it was inappropriate. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that he should have said to me.
One thing I love that you said that you told Dave when you had that comment made to you. And I think... I mean, I've talked to Ginger about this, that being able to be honest with your husband when things like that happen, or even if you're not married, being honest with a friend and saying that out loud, I think takes some power away from the situation.
It does.
And it makes you less vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So to be able to say, this happened, it makes me uncomfortable, or this is something I'd like to watch for, I think puts me in a much better position to be proactive and be more aware than things just happening.
What are things that all of you think is vital to share with your daughters? What are things that our daughters need to know about this life that they're going to be navigating now that we all have some experience in it?
Well, I'd say one of the most important things to tell people is to be yourself and don't feel like you have to apologize for it. Don't try to be like somebody else just because that's what they do. I'll never forget when I tried to sew because my neighbor did, and I tried to have a garden because my neighbor had one, and they were like, it was like a nightmare. It was like, it's hilarious now when I look back at it, some of my funniest stories. But you have to be yourself. And I participated in a wedding a couple of weeks ago, and they just asked me to just say a few words and pray for them, and I said, the one piece of marriage advice I will give you is don't try to change each other. Mm-hmm. Remember the things you love about each other now, and don't forget those things and then start picking on all the things you don't like. Mm-hmm. And just be yourself. You're never going to be happy if you're not yourself.
Yeah, that's great.
So I had gone to South Korea with John, and we did a really quick turnaround. And I was working on a manuscript, and I fell asleep at my laptop. I woke up 8 pages later of the letter T. I had just depressed one, and I was like, whoa,
you're making good progress.
Yeah, I need to lay down. This needs to stop. And I remember I was just falling asleep when I heard, I do not love my children equally. And I was like, what? Did I bring home a blasphemy spirit from South Korea? You have to love us all the same. And God said, same implies that one of you are replaceable. He said, equal says my love can be measured. He said, I don't love my children equally. I love them uniquely. And I started to think about my children, how there's things about my firstborn that are I'm like, oh, I love that about Addison. Right. I love this about Austin. I love that. And so when we are actually not true to who God created us to be, mm-hmm. when we're always trying to be somebody else, that woman I saw on Instagram, that post that I saw there, I want to be that. We're actually undermining who God created us to be mm-hmm. and how God wants to love this world through us. And, you know, I know that when I had my first son, I loved him so much. I was like, I want to have five. I want to have five boys. I want to have so many boys. But then I got pregnant with my second child and I went a little crazy. I started thinking, wait a minute. I love Addison so much. I don't want to cut the love I have for Addison in half and share it with Stranger Baby from the sonogram.
I don't know. I remember thinking the very same thing.
Yes. And I was like panicked.
Yeah.
But then you know what happens. A whole nother portion of your heart opens up and the things you love about that child. And God is the same way mm-hmm. with us. And so like when Joyce is trying to do a garden, God's like, that's not really why I love you, Joyce. I don't love you because your gardening skill or your sewing skill or whatever. And so
I was trying to be a regular woman.
Yeah.
Because people were telling me that I was weird and a religious fanatic and just had lost my mind because I was trying to cast out devils and heal the sick and preach the gospel. And I really thought that I needed to be a regular woman. So I thought that's what you had to do to be a regular woman.
But God has an irregular love for all of us.
Yeah, it's very unique.
Yeah, exactly. And we are each his favorite because I remember telling both my girls you're my favorite. When I was with one, she's my favorite. When I'm with the other, she's my favorite. And they both knew that I did that, so it was okay.
Didn't backfire on you.
No. But they would say, well, I'm the favorite. And
well, they're favorite for different reasons.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And that's the kind of love that God has for us. And I think it's so important that we tell our daughters that they can be anything. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, but that he has put special things in them because of who they are and because they're a woman, and that's not something to back away from. Those wonderful feminine things that are inside of us are great things. Mm-hmm. So I just think there are so many things for our daughters. And, you know, you've got a beautiful little one coming up. So what will you be telling her?
Well, since Peyton's six, so we talk in much, words, very simple words. But just one thing I pray over her every night is that she knows she's fearfully and wonderfully made, because I will never forget what I experienced growing up and feeling like I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And I want her to know you are made to be exactly just like you guys are saying, who God made you to be, and that she'll hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
If that's all she gets, I mean,
that's good.
That's all she needs.
Yeah. One thing for me, talking to, I think any women in particular, it's don't base decisions on fear.
Just a horrible counselor.
Exactly. And there are so many things that we as women are responsible for, that we feel like we have to try to control and we have to take care
of. Women do have a lot of responsibility.
Yes. So many fears that can come into our lives because of that, and we don't want to do it wrong, and we don't want to have a problem, and we don't want to make a mistake. But we can't make decisions based on those fears. Mm-hmm. And so that's just been
that's really good.
Like,
really
I don't cook, but I feel the responsibility to make sure that there's a proper meal in the house every night. So,
you
know, in us.
Yeah, women. Yeah. Women do have a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. We have so many more great questions for women. So we'll do this another time.
My list isn't done.
No. I mean, you know.
You should keep them, and we'll do them another time.
Yeah, work-life balance. You know, everybody always asks about that one all the time. And Erin, you saw a lot of great questions too.
They were so good.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you.
Absolutely.
Very much. Really great stuff. Really helpful. So we love to help you walk it out after we talk it out. What are some of the things that we all need to do to kind of let this sink into our spirit, to see what God's word says about it, and to really walk out what he's telling us. So what we're encouraging you to do is the next time that you're feeling a little bit vulnerable in a room as a woman, you know, maybe the only woman in a particular group. Joyce was talking about being the only woman on the church board, all those things that we're all often part of, is remember that God is the one who protects you. He vindicates you. He equips you. He loves you so much, just like who you are. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that he has you in that room. So you can be so confident in that. And now we want to ask you also to write down three things about yourself that you know God put in you. Right. And I think that's just so encouraging. Put it somewhere that you'll see it, somewhere that you'll remember it. And when you have all of these questions, take them to him. He's got great answers for you. And there's so many scriptures. It seems like the Bible is a book about men sometimes, but there are so many scriptures and so many wonderful books and chapters and stories in the Bible about strong women and women that God did amazing things through. So right.
Absolutely.
Dig into those things.
Love it.
Thank you all very much. We appreciate it. We love all of you. Thank you for being here with us. Don't forget to walk it out, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.